Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Who's excited about 2024? Ooh, nobody. That's one of your reactions, eh, Willie?
Yeah.
You know, it maybe is not all that surprising that nobody's very excited about 2024 because when we look around us, I'm going to talk about a little bit of this morning, and forgive me if I sound negative at the start. I don't mean to be negative, but we have to talk about some of the stuff that's happening in the world. And but trust me, I will finish on a very positive note. And we should all be excited about 2024, shouldn't we, as Christians? Because who's going to lead us into 2024? God is, right? Is that right or no?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Right. Hope you got your Bibles with you. Let's open up to Romans chapter 5. Oh, another year gone by, and I can tell I'm getting older because I have to wear these now. Last week I was, because I'd forgot my glasses. Romans chapter 5, I want to read to you the first five verses. And this is, yes, this is a message of hope. And kids, have you got your sheets? I said to Lillian this morning that the sheets have got this beautiful, it could end up a beautiful, colourful picture. And that to me is symbolic of the hope that we have in Christ. It's a beautiful, colourful picture, right? Our hope in Christ. But let's read from his word on the last day of the year. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great start to the scripture? Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? And there is so much in that scripture to unpack. Some beautiful gems in there, including justification, peace with God, faith, grace, and so on and so on. It is a privilege and a wonder to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. But today, out of that scripture, I want to zero in on this beautiful little word called hope. That word is found 166 times in scripture, and 80 times in the New Testament, and 3 times in this little passage that I just read. Hope. But before I talk about this scripture and the glorious hope that we have as believers, I want to ask a question. Where is hope to be found in the world? Where is hope to be found in the world? Let's do a little survey of the world in 2023. I'm sure that we all know of and have heard of many instances of good things, maybe even great things that are found all around the world, that have been found all around the world this year. Instances of genuine kindness, not government-mandated kindness. Instances of generosity, of selfless giving in our communities and beyond. Instances of creativity and of art that beautified our communities. Instances of people being given a hand up as well as a hand out to help them. instances of love and of goodness that encouraged people that received them. Plans and programs that reduce poverty in various places around the world. Initiatives that allowed more children to be educated and fed and clothed and housed. There are many good things, many even great things happening around this world, and I'm sure many here have been part of those good things, those great things. At a micro level, these things happen all the time, and they are good things. They are things that encourage us as followers of Christ and just as people, as human beings. Unfortunately, at a macro level, the picture's not so bright, is it? Natural disasters have been very much in the news this past year. And by the way, in talking about this, I'm fully aware that the media often zeroes in on bad news stories because bad news sells, right? Nevertheless, there have been things like massive, they say, unprecedented storms in places like the Mediterranean, dreadful earthquakes in Turkey, which took the lives of 50,000 people, tropical cyclones in India, killer cold weather in Afghanistan, heat waves in North America, floods in the Philippines, floods and landslides in Brazil, more floods in Pakistan, epic floods in China, and many other countries around the world. Crazy big wildfires that we all heard about on the news in Canada and the US and Greece and Hawaii and other places. Not to mention Cyclone Gabriel in our own little country and mad big flooding in Auckland. The question remains, where is hope to be found in our world? Where do we find it? It must be depressing being an evolutionary humanist, because according to that philosophy, we should be evolving to a higher and higher level of peace and prosperity and world unity. Unfortunately, in 2023, nothing could be further from the truth. Since the war to end all wars ended 105 years ago, there have been hundreds of major and minor conflicts, including another world war that claimed 60 million lives. In our technologically advanced world of 2023, according to the Council on Foreign Relations Global Conflict Tracker, there are currently 32 ongoing conflicts worldwide. 32. I just want to talk a little bit about the seven major ones. There's an internal war that most people have never even heard of. The media never talks about it. There's an internal war in Myanmar of government forces against Kachin, Rohingya, and Karen peoples, which just this year alone claimed 15,000 lives. There have been insurgencies in many African countries, mostly to do with Islamic jihadist violence against governments and people groups, notably against Christians. And some of these countries where these things are happening include Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, Benin, Togo, Algeria, Tunisia, and so on and so on. It's quite a long list. And this violence alone has claimed the lives of over 13,000 people, not including hundreds of Christians that were massacred just a week ago in Nigeria by Boko Haram terrorists. One village, this is Christian villages, one village alone had everyone wiped out, with the exception of two wee toddlers that they found. The ongoing Mexican drug war that you never hear about, this last year alone claimed 7,000 lives. The Ethiopian civil conflict, where 3,500 people were killed this year. The war in Sudan, which took the lives of almost 13,000 people. Some of the savagery in this conflict is beyond belief, where civilians, thousands of civilians, are being massacred in the most brutal ways. Of course, the newsy conflicts, the Ukraine-Russia war, drags on into towards the end of its second year. And that conflict alone has claimed the lives of of wounded and dead, probably about 500,000 lives, mostly of soldiers, but also many civilians. And where you may have heard on the news only 2 days ago, Russia launched the heaviest bombing raid on Ukraine's cities in the war so far. Last but definitely not least is the full-scale war between Israel and Hamas, which has already claimed thousands of lives so far. And this began, as we all know, with the shocking massacre of 1,400 Israeli men, women, children, old people and soldiers on October the 7th. The details of how this was carried out defies belief in our modern times and was far worse than most of what the Nazis carried out in the Second World War. Horrific reading, horrific. I saw an interview with a woman from one of the kibbutzes that were affected, and she was a very left-leaning liberal. And before October 7, she believed in the inherent goodness of every human being. Since October 7, she no longer believes in that anymore. I want to urge you, church, if you're not already, please pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for a soon end to the war. Pray for Israel's protection, as she is not just battling Hamas, that's only one front, but she is also battling Yemen, who declared war on her, Iran, Iraq, Syria, the Palestinians of the West Bank, and Hezbollah in Lebanon. And just in the last few days, you may have heard that Hezbollah have been launching tens of rockets, probably into the hundreds now, towards northern Israel. Pray for the Palestinian people too, that they will come to know the Jewish Messiah. They need to know the Lord. But perhaps the most alarming thing, particularly from a Christian point of view, that has been happening in the last 2.5 months is the rapid and horrifying rise of vicious anti-Semitism around the world. It's crazy what's happening. This devilish, irrational philosophy is as bad as it has been since the Second World War, without doubt. And particularly because so many so-called educated people are calling for the genocide of Jewish people, and they're serious about it. It's hard to imagine in our so-called sophisticated modern world that this kind of stuff goes on. But this is the spirit of Antichrist that's in this world. As Christians, we know that although Israel is far from God, they are back in their land and they are waiting for the time of Jacob's trouble. But that's God's final judgment. Nevertheless, anyone who takes a stand against Israel is touching the apple of God's eye. Zechariah 2 verse 8. Pray for Israel. Pray for Israel, church. And so these are the major conflicts. It's a bit of a grim picture, isn't it? And there are many, many, many minor conflicts which time does not permit me to talk about around the world, in places such as Colombia and Ecuador and Venezuela and Afghanistan, Somalia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Haiti, so on, so on, so on. Conflict is well and truly alive around our world. And the thing is, as Christians, we shouldn't bury our head and pretend these things don't exist. And because we need to understand the signs of the times, and we need to be able to pray into these things and to be expectant of our blessed hope. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. I'm afraid that peace and goodwill toward men is as far as it could be from reality at the end of 2023. So the question remains, where is hope to be found in the world in 2024? Where is hope to be found in the world? Hope of a utopian peace, security, universal love, and prosperity in this world is a hope that will be dashed. Never going to happen. And we better get used to it. Why? Well, because as Christians, we know the answer. We know the answer, don't we? The answer is that Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. The answer is that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John 5 19. Satan is all about lies and death and destruction. And he is against everything beautiful that God has created. He is the hater of mankind. Why? Because God created mankind to be very good. The pinnacle of God's creation is us, people. And that's why Satan is doing his best to destroy and kill as much as he can. He hates people. And so people who are not followers of Jesus Christ have no real hope. Even the dictionary definition that I looked up of hope is shallow and pretty depressing, really. It says, hope is to want something to happen or to be true and usually have a good reason to think that it might. I think that's just depressing. What? I hope that something will be, I hope that next year will be better than this one. On what grounds do I even say that? I hope my bank balance will improve by next year. Where is my grounds for saying that? I hope the new government will improve my life in the next few years. Yeah. I hope my health improves soon. Where does hope come from in this world? What is your basis for even saying that? How can those hopes be realized? What is the hope for this world? The fact is, if you have hope in this world only, it is without foundation and it is misplaced. In fact, it's just wishful thinking. My son was telling me before the service that he hopes he's going to paint his house next week. Worldly hope is just wishful thinking. That's all it is. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 makes it clear that those who are without Christ have no hope. That scripture says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Who's the rest he's talking about? People that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. Everyone who has not given their lives to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, they have no hope, either in this world and certainly not beyond this world. But what a vivid contrast between the hope of the world, which at best can only mean the improvement of life on this earth for a short amount of time, if the circumstances are right, and the hope of God, which is eternal. What a contrast. Some of you may have seen the movie Shawshank Redemption. It's a fascinating movie. And if you look into what the message of that movie is actually saying, it has a very strong redemptive message. But a couple of the lines about hope in it, I find fascinating. The character Red, who was imprisoned for many years for murder, says this about hope. He said, "Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. It's got no use on the inside." And that is like the hope of the world. Inside Satan's world, there is no hope. It'll drive you insane, hoping for better things, better things, better things. Maybe next year. It'll drive you insane. Andy Dufresne, on the other hand, who was imprisoned for a crime that he didn't commit, says in reply, "Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." That's great, isn't it? That is the Christian hope. It is a great thing, and it'll never die. And furthermore, it goes with us and before us into eternity. The definition of Christian hope is this: a favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. A confident and favorable expectation. Now, that's an optimistic definition, isn't it, of hope? It is an attitude of confidently looking forward to what is good and beneficial. Do you see the difference? It couldn't be more stark. It's not wishful thinking, hoping that your set of circumstances will improve. It is a confident certainty that what God promises will happen. They will, not maybe, not might. What God promises will happen. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's amazing as I was meditating on this. And so let's look a little bit more at our scripture from Romans 5. Firstly, in the first couple of verses, Christian hope is only for those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. Paul is talking in verse 1 to those who have been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 2 that because of our faith in Jesus, we can stand assured in his grace. That is the present hope we have, that we are safe and secure in the presence of God. Through nothing of ourselves, but all because of the blood of Jesus. And that is a beautiful thing. It's such a clear distinction. With Christ, we have hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. It couldn't be more basic than that. Ephesians 2, verse 12 says, "Remember, you were at that time, that is before Christ came into our lives, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Before Christ, no hope. With Christ, eternal hope. Not just hope for our lives now, but eternal hope. And so, only followers of Christ have true hope. Secondly, in verse 2, Paul says that our hope is to be exposed to and part of the glory of God. I spent quite a long time pondering on this part of the scripture, puzzling over it, thinking this can't be saying what it's saying, that we are actually partakers of the glory of God. What? That is astonishing to me. But it's true. And there are a number of scriptures which time forbids that I could back this up with. But we will see God in the fullness of his glory when we go to be with him. In the fullness of his glory, not as through a glass darkly, in the fullness of his glory, and we will be partakers of that glory. Isn't that astonishing? Does that not amaze you? We will experience the glory of God in our new bodies. That is the qualities and the character of God. His absolute radiance in us, amazing but true, and that is our hope. That is our hope. Only followers of Christ have true hope, and our hope is that we will see and be part of the glory of God. Thirdly, in verses 3 and 4, Paul talks about the development of Christian character. Tribulation, which is part of the life of true followers of Christ, and believe me, more so as time moves towards the coming of our Lord. Tribulation leads to perseverance in our scripture, and perseverance to proven character. This is all about Christian maturity. Christian maturity. And the mature Christian has hope of the bright and beautiful future that awaits him or her. Christian maturity. He has hope because he believes the promises of God. He knows them to be true because of his proven character. Do you have hope as a believer? Do you believe and know that the promises of God are true, not just for now, but for eternity? Have you taken steps, or even a step, on the pathway of Christian maturity in the last year? And that's a great question, and I ask myself this question. Have I taken a step or steps in the pathway of Christian maturity in the last year? It's a great challenge. It's a great question to ask ourselves. Is your hope truly in the Saviour of the world and in his bright eternal future? Or do you still hope in the things of this world? I've come across far too many Christians, and I've been in this place too, I'm not exempt, of putting all my hope in stuff and things and relationships or whatever, things of this world, and not in my eternal future and in my walk with Christ. And the Lord gets mentioned every now and again in my life, and I read the word every now and again. I'm very glad to say I'm far from that place now. But it is a challenge. The things of this world can be so alluring, can't they, from time to time? But Christian maturity means that we flee from those things. Flee from those things. Our hope is not in the things of this world. And so, Maybe that could be your goal for 2024. Taking steps in your pathway of Christian maturity. And so only followers of Christ have true hope. Our hope is that we will see and be a part of the glory of God. Christian maturity makes your hope sure. Fourthly, in verse 5, and this is so beautiful. This is just lovely. Listen to this. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't that beautiful? Hope does not disappoint. You will never be disappointed if you have hope in God. Never. Never. The hope that we have as followers of Christ will never be dashed. It will never disappoint. It is 100% sure and true. So many things in this life are letdowns and disappointments, but Christian hope is completely reliable. Why? Why is our hope so reliable? Because the hope that we have comes from God, and the Word of God and the promises of God are true. And so only followers of Christ can have true hope. Our hope is that we will see and be a part of the glory of God. Christian maturity makes your hope sure, and the hope from God will never disappoint. The hope that we have as believers not only comes from God, but in His calling for us, we have hope. In His grace, there is hope. In His word, there is hope. In His gospel, there is hope. That is, by the way, why the imperative should be for us to share this hope as hope with everyone we come across, because the world desperately, desperately, desperately needs the hope of Christ. Our hope is directed toward God, not to the things of this earth. Our hope is directed towards our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our hope has its ultimate fulfillment in our eternal future. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says this: in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Isn't that lovely? The promises that God makes are ironclad. They are 100% true. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you will inherit eternal life. That is the promise. And that's the beautiful hope that we have. And here's an amazing thing that I discovered again. Do you know how long ago God promised us eternal life here in 2023? How long ago He promised us eternal life? Ephesians 1 verse 4 says this: just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. What? He actually chose us to be followers of Jesus Christ before He even made the world. That's our God. That is our God. That is amazing. Our hope has its ultimate fulfillment in what is called our blessed hope. It's found in Titus 2, verse 13. Our blessed hope. And that is the sure and soon return of Jesus Christ to this earth, where He will rule and reign, and we with Him. And folks, I don't think it's far away. That is my conviction. I woke up in the middle of the night last week with the words of a beautiful old hymn on my mind. And I got up and I wrote the words down so I could quote them today. Isn't it amazing how some hymns and songs that you haven't sung for years and years, they just pop into your mind? And I think that was the Holy Spirit as I was meditating and pondering on our hope. And I think that this hymn, I'm only going to read the first, I'm certainly not going to sing it, so you can relax, okay? Don't panic. But this beautiful hymn, which was written by Fanny Crosby in 1873, sums up beautifully the theme of Christian hope. And I bet Robert knows exactly what I'm going to say. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Saviour all the day long. Where is hope to be found in 2024? Not in this world. Not in this world. Not at all. Not in your possessions. Not in your career. Not even in your friends or your family. You can only have hope in the true living God of hope. You can only have hope in seeing and being a part of the glory of God. Your hope can be more and more assured the more you mature as a Christian. Your hope comes from God, and so it will never disappoint. Let me close with this wonderful scripture from Romans 15. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen to this beautiful scripture. Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that lovely? My prayer is that you will have a blessed and hope-filled 2024, and that you will carry on in your growth as towards maturity as followers of Jesus Christ. And that is my hope and that is my prayer for this church also. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this blessed hope, for this wonderful hope, for this glorious hope, for this hope that comes from you, this hope that is directed towards you, this hope that is lovely and pure and beautiful and fills us with joy. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious gifts towards us, the gifts of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we've just been celebrating over the last week. We thank you and we praise you that you are such an amazing God. We could never plumb the depths of your word. We could never fully understand who you are or what you do. But Father, one day we will be with you as partakers in your glory. Father, one day we will see your beautiful face, not through a glass darkly, but face to face we will see our Saviour. And we long for that day, but in the meantime, Lord, help us in this coming year to live as Christians that have hope, as Christians that are filled with joy because of that hope. Yes, we will have our tribulations and our trials, but Father, help us to live joyful lives of hope. And when times do get tough, help us to remember our hope, Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you, and we worship you today. You are our God of all hope, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.